And when it says was in, they were in the area of that, I said, I can't find it in my Bible. I can't find it in my, can't find it in my my map references or anything. It's got to be there. And so when I found it, it shocked me to find out that that word I've read no less than 20 times or 30 or maybe even 40 times in my life, and there it was again. And here I am. All right, now I'm going to share a little something else with you about myself. I was saved in 1964 in the summer. Don't exactly remember which month. It was right after my best friend got murdered. And that following Sunday, if I could find his tombstone, I could probably tell you exactly what day it was that I got saved. But it was on a Sunday morning, and when I hit the door, I didn't even listen to no preaching. The preaching hadn't even started. I just came straight to the altar. And got on my face before God and said, I need something, because I didn't know if my buddy was saved or not. And I don't know if he went to heaven or hell. I don't know. And I'll find out one sad day, maybe. It'll probably be a sad day for me, because my buddy ain't going to be there. But anyhow, in 1966, I went into the United States military. And I stayed there for a few years and went to Vietnam in 1967. And I came home in July of 1968. Now that I remember. And I came home in July of 1968. My country was not the same country that I'd left. If you remember, in 1968, history lesson, children, listen up. 1968, Bobby Kennedy was killed. 1968, Martin Luther King was killed. Can I tell you what I come home to? Chicago was in riots, and Los Angeles, and New York, and Washington, D.C. That was 52 years ago. It's come full circle. It's come full circle. Those that don't learn from history are bound to repeat it. And here we are repeating it again. The whole thing. We could have rolled it up in one big bag and done away with it years ago, but we didn't. And now here it is. It's reared its ugly head at us again, and here we go again.
Yes.
Now this time, I don't know. It seems like it's getting a little bit more foolish. Did you hear that they're wanting to ban singing in our churches?
Yeah, I know.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
What foolishness. Now that's fighting words to me. I tell you, that can't be going there. Can't be messing with my singing. Did you know that we sounded real good tonight? A cappella, we sounded wonderful. I believe that the angels in heaven leaned over the rail to listen to us. Truly do. All right. Now here in this book, in the 14th chapter, and if you you go back to the beginning of the 14th chapter, you're going to find a whole bunch of things here that you already knew, and you're going to see miraculous signs and things that I don't have to bring you back. You remember that we had one joker there. This fella, I'm telling you what, every time you turn around in the Bible, he was stepping on his own feet. That fella named Peter? Surely not. Yeah, Peter, he's always getting in something. He was out there trying to walk on water, trying to pull Jesus, and got out there and about had himself an accident. And if the good Lord wasn't there, he probably would have drowned himself. But the Lord was there, and he took care of him. And we ran across that word, Genesaret. And I don't hold me to that word there. We get over here into the 15th chapter, go down to about the 29th verse. We'll start there. And Jesus, I want to tell you where they were at. I went and looked all this up in my maps. They had left. Let's go back to the 21st verse. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Now, Tyre and Sidon are coastal towns, and evidently all this other stuff of the Pharisees and the scribes coming up there and trying to rebuke Jesus and Jesus putting them in their place. All this must have happened in some sort of a small port place there. Look, are you smelling the Mediterranean? Are you smelling that old salty water? Smell that. See if you can get that in your nose. They're there, and they went into this, for no other better words, they went into an inn, a tavern, a place to eat. And they're in there, and the Pharisees and scribes come in. And I want you to notice there that both those words are plural. It wasn't just one scribe and one Pharisee. It was a host of them. See, there was more than one. You know, a mob, if you would. A mob. Are you following me?
Yes.
Are you seeing history repeat itself? Because these folks don't travel by themselves. They're cowards. Yeah. They have to be a bunch of them, a slew of them, in order for them to do anything. So they ganged up on Jesus. Jesus rebuked them, put them in their place, told them that they should die the death for cussing their parents. And then it went on and on. Then we get down here to the 21st verse. Let me back up there. This is so good. Let's go to the 16th verse. Are you also yet without understanding? Do we understand anything? Do we really understand the Word of God the way it's written? Try hard. Do not ye understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast into the draught? But those things which proceedeth out of the mouth cometh from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornicators, thieves, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but not to eat with his unwashed hands defileth a man. So these guys were trying to put this off on Jesus and his disciples, and they got it turned around on them. They got put down, and the Lord Jesus Christ just used his own words. You know, his own words, because he wrote that, you know.
He
just gave it to the apostles later on for them to put on paper, but he wrote it. 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord. Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he answered her not a word. Didn't say nothing to her. And his disciples came and besought him to him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, we know that why Jesus came. He came to lead the lost of the Israelites back to God. That's what his sole purpose was. But have you noticed that time and time again, some little Gentile somewhere asked of him? This is very important. This is a Gentile lady. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Now that right there sounds to me like a prayer of repentance. But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." He called her a dog. He said, "You're no more than a dog. You're a Gentile. You're not a Jew." And she said, listen to this. This is confession. And she said, "True, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table."
Yes.
All right. She made a prayer of repentance. She confessed her sins. She admitted that she was just a dog. And then she admitted that he was her master.
Yes.
Her master. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now that's the way salvation comes to each and every one that's accepted Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I told you in 1964 I did it. There was not a doubt in my mind when I got up off my knees off that altar that I wasn't saved. Wasn't a doubt there. Oh, I was a young man, 16 years old. Did you live right, Jim? Oh, no. Did I lose my salvation? No, I didn't. Did the Lord have me back? Oh, yes, he did, many times. Beat me, too, chasing me. I got stab marks all over me before he beat on me. Verse 29, and Jesus departed thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. Now, I'm going to cheat just a little bit, and I'm going to go to the last verse, and I'm going to come back over here. All right? Just bear with me just a minute, and it'll all come and make sense. And they that did eat, this is after he's fed them, he's called his disciples, and they fed all these folks. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, besides the women and children. You want to do a little guessing with me? If we had 4,000 men, do you figure we had no less than 2,000 women? Yeah. Huh? Does that make about 6,000?
Yeah.
Do you think that those women were dragging about 1,000 children with them?
At least.
We'll say 7,000, rounded off there. 7,000 people. Can you imagine what 7,000 people look like sitting on a hillside?
Right.
That's a slew of folks, ain't it, huh? They've been fed and they've been taken care of. But I'm going to take us back to the beginning of this story now. And a great multitude, verse 30, and a great multitude came up, came unto him, having with them those that were lame. That's my first little boy right there. You're lame. Okay. What's your name? Cole? All right, Cole. I used to dig coal. I can remember that. Cole is lame. And you? Ruby? My aunt's name, Ruby. I can remember that. You're blind. And you're who? Sarah? And Sarah, you can't talk. You're what they call dumb. But don't you take it that way. It don't mean that you're stupid. Just can't talk. And who are you, honey? Leah. I should have turned you guys around, but you're maimed. You're all busted up. You fell off of your pony. Got all busted up. And many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. All right. We're going to speed read right on down here, and we're going to come back just a little bit. Insomuch that the multitude wondered, when they saw the dumb speak and the maimed be whole and the lame to walk and the blind to see, and they glorified God, glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus calls his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continued with me now 3 days and have I lost my place. Have you ever done that? 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way.
Amen.
All right. What you reckon? I've went 3 days without eating before. Got pretty weak. Wasn't in the best shape, but I could have went on. I imagine the majority of these folks here could have done the same thing. What do you reckon he was worried about him fainting for? What do you reckon? Cole, what do you reckon? Huh? You're healed. You're no longer lame. Jesus Christ healed you. You ain't never walked in your life. People have carried you around, and you've never done anything on your own. Always carried someplace, one place or the other. Flip over there to the third chapter of the book of Acts with me real quick. We'll find out what's the matter with you. Guess I'll find my place. Beginning in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together unto the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame, there you are, Cole, lame. A certain man from his mother's womb was carried every day and laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, saying, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaped up, stood, and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. All right. Cole, is that mama back there? We got Cole's mama? Your son just got healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you going to sit there? You're going to watch him jump up by himself? Jump up and go back there to mama. Give her a big hug. Tell her how much you love her. And see what Jesus done for me. That mountainside was not silent, I'm here to tell you. Those people were burning energy by the tons.
Yes, right.
Let's see. Are you ready to see? Huh? Jesus healed that blind person. You got your mama back there? Your daddy? Your daughter can see. She's been blind. Are you just going to sit there? Or are you going to share in her excitement?
Right.
Same with my little dumb girl. She hasn't spoke a word, that beautiful voice. Nobody's ever heard that beautiful voice. She's never been able to sing, and now she can speak. Now she can sing. She can shout hallelujah and praise God.
Right.
And mama and daddy are the same way. You two can go back there to your family if you want, but you can stay up here in slobbering range if you want to, too. Hey, little main girl. Well, I'll let her go too. We know what happened. What I'm getting at is if you're not seeing that in your story, you're not getting the whole story. You're not getting it. If you can't smell the ocean, if you can't see 4,000 people walking up there on that mountainside, you're not getting the story. If you're thinking that you're getting the whole nine yards, you're not. You've got to see it. You've got to smell it. You've got to taste it. I was reading about him eating that bread a minute ago, and I got tasting that bread. I wonder if it was sourdough or not. It was probably that leaven stuff that you have to rip off, and if you ain't got teeth, you can't eat it. So I have to gum it. God intends for us to use his word and get every drop out of it. Ring it. Ring it like a dish rag and get every drop out of it. Say, here we are. This is what we're here for. We want to get this. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you a heads up. This is about as quiet as it's going to get between here and heaven.
Amen.
When you get to heaven, you're going to hear some shouting.
Amen.
If you're not willing to do it here on this earth, you're going to hear it when you get there.
Right.
The Holy Ghost hasn't worked in a church house in a long time that I've been in. The Holy Spirit's been kind of Not quenched away, but just kind of set to the side. He's here. I'd like to get him fired up here, and I'd like to see him come in and show off.
Yeah,
I'd like to see him show off. I've been there before, and I love that feeling. I love it. It's a great feeling. God comes in, and he starts shaking everybody, and tears get to coming. People get to repenting. People say things that they wouldn't say no place else.
Right.
Like, Brother Miller, I love you.
Amen.
Amen. God wants us to tell our pastor that we love him. He wants us to love each other, and he doesn't want us just sit and be quiet about it. He wants us to tell it. Use our mouth. That's what he gave it for. There's not a dumb person in here. Everybody in here can talk, I do believe. And if we don't tell somebody something, how do they know it? I tell my hen I love her every day. I try to make positively sure I don't let a day go by that I don't tell her I love her. 37 years been telling her that, and she keeps telling me, I know. She says, I love you too, and I say, I love you more. Okay, we got that argument going. But if we don't do it, how do we know? How do we know? And if you don't go into the Word and you try to get everything out of it that you see in, how you know you're getting it all?
Yes,
you could be like me, you know, you could be studying your Bible and reading and carrying on and then be sitting watching something on the television screen there that you downloaded about the city of David, and then all of a sudden it come to you.
Amen.
How do you know that you're getting all the Word? You don't know until you get in there and you smell the salt air when you get around the ocean. Has anybody ever been around a lot of blood at one time? It stinks.
Yeah.
It stinks. It don't smell good.
Yes.
And people, can you imagine what the crucifixion smelled like?
Yes.
It was a nasty thing. Terrible nasty. There the bark was all beat off of Jesus, and they had him bleeding from every orifice, and every pore in his body was running blood, and that was a terrible stinking mess.
Amen.
Those other three guys there with him, the other two guys there with him, the three of them are bleeding like all crazy. Terrible. But if you don't get that smell, if you don't see those sights, if you don't hear those sounds in your Bible, you're missing out on it. Can you see Saul up there on the mountainside swinging that sword, trying to beat off those Philistines? Jonathan running up there, trying to help him, holding his shield up high, keep his daddy from getting hit. And you hear him crying and screaming. You hear Saul yelling at his armor bearer, bring your spear and kill me. Don't let him take me alive. Can you see that? Can you hear it? Or you just read the words? If you're just reading the words, you ain't getting it. You're missing it. You're not getting it. Now, I want you to get it. I want you to get everything I got, and then you can come teach me something. God wants us to have his entire Word. That's why he gave it to us in this little compact carry-around thing. Has anybody ever seen scrolls? I've seen pictures of those Dead Sea Scrolls. Can you imagine trying to roll one of those things up, stick it in your hip pocket, and go somewhere? You'd be up against it. You'd have it tore all pieces before you got around the block. God gave us his Word, and he fixed it so we could have it. We could carry it around with us. There's no excuse. We can have it wherever we go. And we can study it. We can start reading it. We can do what we just done here tonight. We can watch those children get up and walk. We can watch that widow woman watch her son be taken off the deathbed and brought back to life.
Right.
We can see that. He wants us to have everything that he gave us.
Yes.
And he wants us to get it. And he wants us to use it. But we do it the same way as we do just about everything else. We're in this fast food generation,
right.
This fast food life, and we... I'm going to read five verses tonight, and that's done, or five chapters tonight, and it's done, and then 2 hours later, you can't remember what you read.
That's right.
It's not the way it should be.
Right.
We should get into these stories and put ourselves in them just like we're there. And once we do, we'll start finding ourselves getting more and more interested in the next story.
Right.
Now, I know that I'm a little bit confusing about the way that I laid this out, because it really wasn't laid out. I was supposed to preach another sermon here tonight. I was supposed to have preached instead of taught. But the Lord said, no, you leave that right there where you got it, and you come and you give this.
Yep.
And somebody here needs that. I don't know who it is, but the Lord wouldn't have said for me to do it this way and me coming and doing it.
That's right.
So if you're interested in knowing what the Bible has in store for you, that's how you have to do it.
Yes.
Put yourself into it. Now, has anybody ever seen pictures of Israel? I've never been there, but boy, I sure like to go. And but you know, I don't know why I'd like to go, because that place is a desert. It ain't nothing but a pile of rocks. You hear about in the Bible where they stoned somebody? You know why they stoned them? All you had to do is bend over and you pick up a big old clinker, you know. You just knock somebody in the head. There are rocks everywhere. Rockiest one place I've ever seen in my life. But at the same time, I'm proud of this. I was born in 1948. 1948, Israel became a state again.
Right.
Became a country. And before they came there, the entire place was a desert. Before they left and were put into bondage, it was a great green place. Everything was green and growing. And then when they left, it all died. Now, after the short 72 years, they've got trees, they've got grass, they've got everything's growing. They've got water. It's miraculous. God put his hand on that place and said, as long as my people are there, they're going to live the land of honey. And they are there, and they are living in the land of honey. There's plenty of milk, plenty of honey for them. They don't have to worry about too much to eat or nothing. But then you just go outside the borders of Israel, and it becomes desert again. Isn't that God is great.
Amen.
You can't say nothing else but God is great.
Yes.
And when he says he's going to do something, he does it.
Right.
Now, he promised those Jews way back when that's what they were going to live, how they were going to live, where they were going to live. And they did, until they messed it up.
Yes.
Now, for me and you, what are we messing up? Are we messing up opportunity? You know, you say, oh man, I don't know what kind of opportunity you're talking about. Well, I'm talking about right now, we've got a whole bunch of opportunities. Well, we're all locked down. We're not supposed to be getting out and running around. Well, we can bellyache and cry about that, or we can figure something else out. Now, I talked to Pastor about this last week. I asked him, I said, hey, you got a telephone ministry? Yeah, we used to have one. Got a card ministry? Yeah, we used to have one. Still got it?
No.
Yeah. Need one. Need somebody on the telephone. Get every member of this congregation phone number and call them. Check on them. Find out how they're doing. There's somebody in this church right now, in this room, that knows everybody that's missing. There's somebody here. Greatest thing that you can do is when you're sitting there and you're down in dumps is go to the mailbox and find a card from a bunch
right.
of folks that love you.
Amen.
And they put their name on that card and send it to you.
Right. Right.
Letting you know that they're praying for you and that they got your best at heart.
Yes.
It's an easy thing to do. It takes 5 minutes to write a card, maybe less. I don't know. But that's an easy thing. Picking up the telephone, dialing. Everybody carries one. I don't carry one. Everybody carries a telephone now. All you have to do is just remember who it is, maybe put it in that little address thing and dial them. Talk to them for a minute. See how they're doing. If they need a gallon of milk brought to them, find out what's going on. tell them, hey, listen, we're still getting together down at church. We're doing that social distance thing, but we're getting together. Got room for you.
Yep.
So come on.
Right.
Maybe that's what they're waiting on, is another invitation to come back.
Right.
Maybe they think that you forgot about them. God wants to use you. He wants to dump His word out on you, get you to thinking about it, get to thinking about all the ways that you can do something for Him. Now, we've been shut out of, my ministries have been shut down because of they won't let me in nursing homes no more, the jailhouses, so I'm kind of shut out. But at the same time, as soon as they open the door and they let me get my foot in, I'm going back. They ain't going to run me off. These governors and stuff ain't going to plumb stop me. I got to listen to the folks at the nursing home, though. I got to kind of heed their thing. But God wants us to use each other.
Yes.
He wants us to, like we were talking about, leaning on that arm of God. He wants us to lean on one another. That's what He put us here together for. He says, oh, you're a congregation.
That's right.
We are the church, and when we come together, we're supposed to act that way.
Amen.
We're supposed to act like we love one another.
Yes.
Now, for you all, you don't know me enough to love me, but I can look at you all and say, I love you, okay? Just because you're brothers and sisters of mine in Christ. So, therefore, I can say I love you. But I wouldn't expect you to be able to say you love me until you know a little bit more about me. And then after you do, you probably, I don't know about that guy. But at the same time, the Lord wants us to do these things. And He wants us to make sure that we're taking care of those that are out of the church, that are sick or in need. The Bible plainly tells us we're supposed to take care of the widows and orphans. And so how much more should we take care of those of our own family that are just missing? You know, go hunt them down. They're not dirty dogs. We'll go get them. Bring them in. They're not like that woman was with Jesus. They're all Gentiles, and we know it. And we're Gentiles too, saved by the grace of God. So with those things in mind, I'm going to leave you with those thoughts. I hope I've covered something there that will touch your heart and maybe stir you just a little bit. Just a little bit, stir you up, maybe get you excited about maybe trying to find you a story in the Bible that you always like to read, and see what Naomi went and done. Find out how she come out. You know, go back and reread that, check it out and see how things are with her. Let me leave you with this thought, okay? This is something that may happen to somebody in this room, because I don't know y'all. Personally, I don't know anybody in here as a personal person except that gal back there in the blue shirt. And I have to go home with her, so I know her pretty good. But the rest of you, I don't know. I don't know how your soul condition is. I don't know what shape you're in with the Lord. I don't know how things are going with you, if you've got problems or if you need some help somehow or anything about you like that. And same you guys, same way with me. Now, if you'll read along, if you want to read along with me, you can go to the 20th chapter of the book of John. 20th chapter of the book of John. I want to begin down in the 24th verse. But Thomas of the 12, called Demas, was not with them when Jesus came. Where do you reckon that rascal was at? The other disciples, therefore, said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Poor Thomas. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy fingers, and behold my hands. and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believe. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they, there we are, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now we're just like that old gal from Canaan. We believed that Jesus could help us. We believed it. We ain't never seen him. We don't know him. We haven't got a clue. But at the same time, we believe everything that this old book says. We believe in our salvation. We believe in his healing power. We believe that he can work miracles. And we believe everything that's written in this old book about him. We believe it. Cover to cover. Cover to cover. With that thought in your mind, you need to ask yourself, do I truly believe? Check yourself out. Make sure that you've got everything squared away with God. Amen. Be sure that you got the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Don't be Thomas. Don't be missing the day that he comes back. When he comes back, he's going to come in the twinkling of an eye. And it's going to be too late for saying, I'm sorry. It's going to be too late for falling on your face before him. He's a just God.
Yes.
And he's patient. And he's waited patiently on a lot of people. And it's time that we do something about it. If you know somebody that's lost, witness to them. If you know somebody that's out of church, invite them back. Talk to them. You'll never know unless you do. Pastor?
Sometimes I've read, I said, have you ever seen this? And sometimes people are not excited about it.